You take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to begin in verse 105 today as we consider navigating life in the new year. Psalm 119 is a long acrostic poem that begins with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 sections here of 8 verses each. And we're going to be looking at the 14th letter, which is Nun, and it's very interesting how David used this particular letter of the Hebrew alphabet to communicate some very important truths about using the Word of God in everyday life. And we're going to be sharing that over today and next Sunday as we look at navigating life in the new year. I want to read again just the first 3 verses of this passage. We're not going to get through all of this today, but I want to begin with these first 3 verses as we consider this truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, or make me alive, O Lord, according unto thy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your precious word. We thank you that it is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I pray that as we consider these verses of scripture from this psalm, that our hearts would be open and receptive to the things that you share with us in this passage. And I pray to our Heavenly Father that we would let go of our way and seek to do your way. And I pray that you'd work in a very powerful way today as we consider these verses of Scripture. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The psalmist declares in verse 105, very familiar passage of Scripture, and I hope that familiarity does not breed contempt in your heart and mine as we look to God's Word, because sometimes the verses that we memorize and repeat over and over again have more meaning than we allow them to have in our hearts and lives. And I hope that we can open these verses up and that it will encourage us and help us. But I want to lay a little bit of background for this particular section of this Psalm 119, which begins with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And I want you to notice, please, something in regard to this particular letter. It's the letter Nun. That's how you say it, Nun. And you'll find the Hebrew here, and you always read from right to left. All right, when you're moving through the, you would be reading like this if you were reading the Hebrew. And the first letter is very interesting. It is the Nun letter, and it's bent to the left. Sometimes it's bent to the right, depending upon the context of the word that you're using there. But the first letter here is bent. You have the word for and then you have almost every Hebrew word is made up of 3 letters. Words of divinity or deity have 4 letters. But generally speaking, almost every word in Hebrew is 3 Hebrew letters, and you find that to be the case here. And it's very interesting. This particular word in the Hebrew is the third of what they call the double letters, where you see the letter Nun used twice. There are 8 of these in this particular group. And they have the medial form, which is the first letter. And then you have the ending form, which is the Peshitta. And that is an indicative that we come to the end of this particular word, perpendicular in its scope. And it also has something very interesting here, too. You see these little marks here. You've heard of jots and tittles in the Hebrew. Well, this is called the Zayin crown. And it only appears in the very classical form of Hebrew and how they would inscribe it and so forth like that. There's only 8 letters in the Hebrew alphabet that have this on the top of them. And it has the value, this particular name here, Nun, has the value of 50. All right, the number 50, that's what is represented by this particular thing. Now, what is unique about this? And I'm gonna share a little bit from a Hebrew scholar. This letter here, bent to the left, is showing one who is bent. You'll notice the last verse of this particular section, verse 112. Notice that, please, where it says, as it ends here, I have inclined my heart. I have bent my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. This is very important, and I want to kind of lead this into something that I noticed on my trip up to Tennessee that I think will help us to understand better where we're going in this particular section of Psalm 119. A Hebrew scholar by the name of Rashi makes this note about noon, all right, the Hebrew 14th letter of Hebrew. This orthography, which is how it's written, suggests that the one who is humble before God will stand upright in the final day. In the Olam Hesed, the present life, this means that the Tzaddik righteous will affirm, I am nothing but dust, but you have made me worthy through what? Righteousness and mercy outside of myself. All right, now he's bringing out the significance of the bent letter, starting the beginning of that word. And then he brings out the point that the ending letter, which is also noon, all right, is perpendicular. It's not bent. It's upright. And that picture meaning there, I'm made upright, not by my own doing, but because I've been lifted up by another. And that, of course, is a reference to Jesus Christ. It reminds me of James 4 and verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and what will He do? And He shall lift you up. Now, this is important on how we are going to look at this. Now, how many of you have ever seen trees in the forest that were bent purposefully? Anybody? All right, I've noted on occasion, whenever I've been out hiking, especially when I'm out of state, up in Tennessee, Kentucky, North Georgia, North Alabama, all the way over to Illinois, there are thousands of these trees, and they have been marked by the Department of Interior. They have their own GPS coordinates. And these trees were bent, dating back all the way to the American Indians. Cherokee especially were known for doing this. As well as even the Conservation Corps in the 1930s, they bent these in certain directions so that as they were moving through the woods or they were giving instructions, you would see these trees that were purposefully bent. If you Google this, you'll find thousands of these trees. I was reading a blog by a pastor up in Clarksville, Tennessee over the holidays. His name is Dave Secura. And he was writing about how that he went out hiking over Thanksgiving up on a mountainside near Clarksville, and he found two of these trees just out walking in the woods. Both of them were pointing due west. They were rather old, similar to what you see here. You can see some of these trees that I have pictured here. You have an old oak right here that had been bent purposefully using vines and so forth out in the woods when it was saplings. And they grew in this direction, and many of them were pointing in directions west, east, north, south, in order to indicate important landmarks. The two that Pastor Secura found were pointing west to a river that was 2 miles away. Said the Indians evidently had done that as directional. One of them was at the foot of the mountain. When he got up to the top, he found the other one pointing to the river down below. And he made a very important point. These were landmarks that were purposefully made to give directions, not to the people who knew the way, but to people who did not know the way. And my mind just started running with this. Do you realize what God has done for us in His Word? Thy Word is a what to my feet? It's a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. You have no idea where you're going in 2024. I have no idea where I'm going in 2024. As we stand upon the precipice of a brand new year, we have no idea of the things that you and I are going to face in this coming year. We see things breaking down all across the world. What's that going to mean for 2024? We have an election year. What's that going to mean? for all of us in this new year. There may be health scares. There may be issues that we face. There may be loss of loved ones. We don't know. The Lord may come back. Amen? How am I going to know how to navigate my way through a brand new year? How did you know in 2023 as you faced things and issues? Christian, the way you can make it through another year and navigate your way through all the pitfalls and all the difficulties and troubles that you may face in this year is through the light of God's Word. Oh, we've seen the wreckage of those that have chosen to go their own way. They choose not to follow the Word of God. They choose to listen to popular culture, or they popular psychology, or they'll choose some other form and they'll put religious terms with it. But really, it's just I'm living my life to please myself. And oh, the wreckage that comes as a result of those choices that are made. I had a young man that I knew in college who was just a child at the time. And he passed away this past week. And he was a graduate of Bob Jones University. He was a child at the time because I remember him. He played in the orchestra for Bob Jones Elementary. And I had to work several of their concerts and so forth. And his daddy was the director of the orchestra. And he was very good. He was what we would call a virtuoso. That means somebody that knows what they're doing. He played the violin. And he was very good at that. And he died suddenly this past week at age 38. And you're just like, wow. Leaving behind two young daughters, a wife, and just gone in a moment. He had no idea on January 1st, 2023, that it would be the last year of his life. It could be that as we finish up 2023, that God would have plans for others to go. Sometimes God says, no, not yet, and He gives and grants more time. My point is this. We're navigating constantly. And by the way, David brings this out in this passage, in that third verse that we just read. Constantly battling and not knowing what to do, but as I know not what to do, I do know what to do, and that's to keep the Word of God, to follow the Word of God. God has gone through His Word, and He's given us direction. Just like these trees that were on purpose bent to show them where a river was, or where a village was located, or a cave was located. There were several trees I read about that are in the Department of Interior, where they say they point over a 10-mile area to a cave. It was a large cave in which an Indian tribe had used that to be their location for their people to meet. And so they had this series of trees that would point them as they walked through the woods to point them where to go. Or people that didn't know, maybe other Indians or what are other people that may not know, they would follow those trees that were given. God has done that for you, Christian, in His Word. Isn't that wonderful? We can sit around, I don't know what to do. Do what's right. Honor the Lord by obeying His Word, and He will provide light. Oh, light is so wonderful. Light is so wonderful. The last several days, my sons and I have been working on my shed. We needed to desperately replace all the siding on it. The whole base part of it was rotted out from years, 23 years of being on the side of the shed. And so we cleaned it all out, put new siding up, put a new front door in, got shelves all set up. And my wife is very, very happy because we were able to get all of our stuff and get it put into that shed. And it took a lot of work. But I want to tell you something. When the sun sets, it was pitch black in the back. We got a lot of shade. Pitch black back there, and we were constantly pulling out our cell phone. Except for one thing, my cell phone light doesn't work anymore. So I had to go get something else to be able to see. And we were talking about we're going to put some lights out here so we can illuminate them because it gets really dark back here. You need light. You need light, Christian, to navigate all the different things that you're going to face in this coming year. So he makes a point here in verse 105. And I want to share some of these as we walk through today and next Sunday. The first of these is, I think, the capstone of where David is going in these eight verses. He's divided it up through the letters of the different alphabet to emphasize an important truth. And he begins by saying, make the Word of God your light. How often? Always. It's the only light you go to. You say, well, wait a minute, there's a lot of good things. I listened this morning, I was watching a news program, and one of the people that were sitting there at the desk and so forth like that was sharing about their resolutions for this year. And his resolution was this, very interesting. He said, I've got to find me a book that will help me to understand the Bible better this year. Anybody see a problem with that? I'm going to find me a book that will help me. Now, what's the problem with that? You don't need a book, you need a person. And that person is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there are books that are helpful to help us understand language. I'm not saying that. But when you're looking for another book other than the book and the Holy Spirit, who is the illumination to understand, you can get a book and still not understand the Bible. You need the light of the Holy Spirit of God to shine and give you understanding. So he says here in verse 105, thy word is a lamp. Nothing else is a lamp. The word is a lamp unto my what? Feet. Now why does David the psalmist point to the feet first? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Now, lamp in the Hebrew is the idea of a clay vessel with a single wick with oil inside of it. And you would light that, and it would illuminate just the area that was closest to you. It would be like having a very small flashlight. You can shine it off out in the distance all you want to, but when you shine it down, you can see, you can illuminate where your feet are walking. Why would that be important? So you don't stumble. So you don't fall. Thy word is a lamp to my feet so I won't stumble, and a light unto my path so I know where to what? Go. This is so simple. We're not talking rocket science here. You don't have to have an engineering degree to understand this. It's simply God saying, if you want to keep from stumbling in your walk and you want to know where you're going to go, you make sure that my word is in you. My word is what you follow as you move throughout life. I don't know how many, I mentioned the next time that we have Christmas on a Sunday is 2033. That seems like a long way away. That's 10 years from now. But you know what? I have found that decades seem to go faster than they used to. Remember 2013, what we were doing? That was the year we paved around this building, 2013. That's the year that Mr. O'Pager found a pine tree with his vehicle out back here. Remember we were having to park the cars back behind the building because this was all torn up and so forth. And Mr. O'Pager found a pine tree for us. And we had to mark it so we could all remember, see, don't hit this tree as you're backing out or moving out or whatever. That was 10 years ago. Do you have the dent still in your vehicle?
I don't have it here.
You don't have it? Yeah, 10 years. Wow, that seems like yesterday. It seems like yesterday we were out here and the paving crews were out here and the sidewalks were being poured and so on. 10 years gone, just like that. 10 years from now. Time is a gift from God to us. But He's not measured by time. Make every step. You don't get from here to there unless you take a single step. And then you take the next step. Every step, the Bible says, of a righteous man is ordered by God. Every step. We need the Word of God. We need the Word of God. And that means get into the Word of God and study it. Don't study books about it. Study the Word. God never promised to bless other books, but He did promise to bless His book. Amen. He promised us that we would be encouraged and blessed if we study His Word. And so this is the first thing. This is the first step. Set it up in your heart and mind. I am going to let God's Word give direction in my heart and life. Number two. And there's eight of these as we walk through. Number two, notice what the psalmist says here. Is it okay to do this? Psalm 106, I have sworn and I will perform it. What? What has he vowed? What has he contracted to do? He says that I will keep thy righteous judgments. What is it? What is a judgment? A judgment is a decision that's passed down. Do you know that God has passed down in His Word judgments to us? Different judgments that come from the halls of heaven, comes from the mind of God that's given to us. He said, I've made a covenant. I've made a contract with God. I've vowed before Him that I am going to do something. I'm going to keep His Word. Now, we have dozens of contracts that we sign throughout our lifetimes. When you go down to buy a new car, you're signing a contract. If you're getting a loan, you're saying, I'm going to pay every month for this vehicle until it's paid off. Or if you buy a house and you have to get a loan, I am covenanting that I am going to pay for the monthly amount, and I'm going to make sure that I do that so that I can have my house and I can stay in it. We sign all kinds of contracts. Miles and Caitlin are going to be joined together in holy matrimony on January the 20th, Lord willing. That's a special time. And you know what they have chosen to do by God's grace? That they are going to become what? One. Do you realize that that's a contract for life? And if you have this idea that the world has a prenups, isn't that nice? In the event that we break up, this is what we're going to do. What is that? That's no indication of an honest contract, an honest vow before God when you got all these loopholes. Let me tell you something, girls. If a guy comes up and says, I got a prenup I want you to sign before we get married, run as fast as you can. And the same way with you guys. If a girl says, you know, I would feel a whole lot better about this situation if we could just have a prenup or whatever. Run! Get away from it! They're fixing an out. And that's not what marriage is. That's not what marriage is. It's a vow to become one. Now, this is important for us to see. Make a contract with God to keep His Word. So, we shouldn't be making contracts with God. Over and over again, we're encouraged in the Bible to be careful about making vows, but never are we told not to make vows. As a matter of fact, I think it would be better if we learned that there are certain things that should be the case. Should, ought, must. Those are good Christian words. Things that should be. You read Timothy, the letters to Timothy and to Titus, you find this all the time. Charges that are made. These are things that should be true in your life. Now, why would Paul tell him if it wasn't important for him to do? Turn over to Titus for just a moment. I want you to see this. I was reading through this not too long ago, this passage of Scripture, and I was reminded again and again of the things that should be in our hearts and lives, and was encouraged by some of these things. Notice, beginning at verse 10 of chapter 1, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be what? Stopped. How do you stop the mouths? Who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. What is Titus saying here? He's given, you know, qualifications of leaders. He's telling pastors and leaders there that they are not to be condoning and supporting those who are subverting. Yet stand up. That's what he's saying. Teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Oh, some people get all bent out of shape. How could you say such a horrible thing about somebody else? Paul's saying, hey, there are even sayings among people about characteristics of individuals. Notice verse 13, this witness is true. It is so. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, but that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. You need to know that. You need to know that. It's not only good for preachers and leaders, it's good for God's people to know that. Not everybody should be honored. Some people need to be exposed for the error that they are teaching. And so I could go on and on. Verse 1 of chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I'm limited as a preacher of God's Word. I'm limited to the sound doctrine of God's Word. If I preach any other thing, you need to get up and leave. Go find somebody else because I would be preaching something that's not in God's Word. Sound doctrine. Those are the things. You could read on and on and on through this passage of Scripture as Titus, the letter to Titus unfolds. The things that are to be considered and followed as a leader of God's people. I have sworn and I will perform it that I will keep thy, what kind of judgments? Righteous judgments. Don't ever have a low view of God's Word. Don't ever have a low view of God's Word. Some people kind of, well, that's not important. This is not important. Training my child to follow, that's not important. Or something else that comes along, that's not important. What are you doing? You're saying his judgments are not right. My judgments are right. Isn't it interesting that God told us to judge righteous judgment? We're to be careful. We're to be careful as God's people that we don't start interjecting our thoughts into the Word of God. Let God's thoughts come forth from the Word of God rather than the reverse. That's where we get into big trouble. Number three, we're almost done for today. Number three, I want you to notice verse 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. David is admitting something to us here that all of us face from time to time. Affliction. Affliction is something that we all deal with on a daily basis of some sort. I've been afflicted for the last few days with sore muscles from climbing ladders, holding up boards. So my muscles are just like super sore. I'm not in shape. I need to be in shape, but I'm not in shape. And so I'm afflicted with those. But David here is talking about something a little more significant. He had people that wanted to kill him. He had people that wanted to destroy his life. I've spoken to individuals in times past who were very discouraged because they had people that wanted to destroy them. They wanted to see their business fail. I remember one man in particular, he said, I'm dealing with an individual right now that wants to destroy my business. He's offered to buy me out, and I said no, and so now he's gone on a mission to take away all my customers. Can you imagine that? Having to deal with that? How important is it for us as individuals, as we face afflictions, do we hit the panic button? Do we just start running around? What am I going to do? I got to find some help. Wait a minute. Notice what he says here. I am afflicted very much. I'm almost to my limit, but quicken me. Make me alive, Lord, according unto thy word. There again, the link is made. How am I made alive according to the word of God? I find my strength. I find my sustenance. We're going to be eating in just a few moments. At least I think all of us will be eating here shortly. And maybe you've got a pot roast in the oven. Or maybe you've got something else that you're cooking and getting ready. You're going home for the purpose to eat. Why are you going home to eat? Because you're hungry. Christian, let me just say this. God's given us everything that we need to dine on. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for God's Word? Well, I'm so knowledgeable about the Word of God that it just oozes out of me. Really? Really? That's how we're going to look at it? Some people think that. They think that. But what I've noticed over the years in my own life is I constantly have to be reminded from God's Word. Amen? I have to be reminded every day. Because the older I get, my memory is not as good. And so I go through and oftentimes I find myself saying, wow, that's something I don't think I've ever seen before. And I may have. I may have. As a matter of fact, in my old Bible, I have a date, where dates where I read certain things, and I had spent time in this passage in a study that I did in 1999. In my old Bible, I had it written in there on the date, 1999. Well, that's been a few years ago. But you know what? You have to go back, and you have to go back. And you have to purposefully, intentionally take God's Word and bring it unto yourself and imbibe God's Word and ask the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, teach me, instruct me, give me light so I can navigate my way. You know what you're doing, basically? You're bending your life in the direction of the Word of God. Is that a good thing? To constantly be reminded in your life, I need to go to God's Word. Something comes up in your family, I need to go to God's Word. Something changes in the business and I don't know what to do. I get bent right back to the Word of God. That's where I'm going to find my strength and my help in time of need. Would you bow your heads, please? I want to just encourage you today. We're living in times in which there are so many distractions. The devil, the flesh, will distract you from the Word of God. It will tell you, you can find help somewhere else. You don't need to go to the Bible. You can go somewhere else and get help. You can go to this PhD, or you can go to this school, or you can go to this person, and they'll give you, wait a minute. That's wonderful if people can offer assistance that are godly people. But when you run to the world for direction, you're always going to be pointed in the wrong one. Would you encourage your heart this morning by crying out with the psalmist and make a vow that your life will be bent in the direction of the Word of God every day of this coming year? I don't know how many days we're going to have. I don't know if we're going to make it through the whole year. I don't know if the Lord will come back today or tomorrow. But I do know this, He's given me His Word to guide me and direct me each and every step of the way in the new year. Father in heaven, I pray that You'd encourage us this morning. Help us not to get bored with the Word of God. That really cannot happen unless something is seriously wrong within the heart. Your Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. It discerns between the thoughts and intents of the heart. It discerns between the spirit and the soul. There are things that the Word of God does in our lives that no other book does. Because Your Word is alive. I pray, Father, that You would work in a powerful way as we enter in by Your grace into a brand new year. May we be challenged to take each day through the direction of the Word of God, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.